We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Tyrese Haliburton, and you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Indiana, home of Pacers basketball.
Miller for three, and he got it.
Legends have been born.
Miller retreats to the three-point line.
Memories have been made.
Haliburton, a deep three for the lead.
Great basketball has been played.
Nembhard away. Hits a three at the buzzer to win the game.
In 49 states, it's just basketball.
Flips it to the big fella, fake shoots, and hits.
But this is Indiana. And you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Let's go!
Your go-to Pacers podcast.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
We got Pacers hooping. Let's talk stats. Hot takes. All facts. New topics. Updates. Three-pointers. Fast breaks. We keep scoring. We don't need to stop. New episodes. Weekly drops. This your number one podcast. Sweeping every team. We gon' need a mop.
Setting like the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Pacer Nation, what is going on? Welcome back to another episode here of your go-to Pacers podcast. The Indiana Pacers take down the Brooklyn Nets 133-111 in a game that was not even that close. And here to talk with me about this victory is Michael J. Fauci. Fauci, how's it going?
Ooh, man, you know, after a win like this, life is good. You know, you wondered what the Pacers would do on April Fool's Day. Are they going to fool us and say, nope, this is who they are, they lose these games, or are they going to come to play after getting a little bit of rest and coming off of a big win against the Lakers? This Pacers team, they went down 4-0. I got a little bit nervous. And then after that, it was all Indiana. This was a game that was a convincing win. I'm not going to call it a statement win, but it felt like we were in cruise control from just about, you could say, second quarter on, halftime on. The Pacers never had to look back.
So there's a couple things that I want to take away from this game, and there's a lot of ways we can start this thing off, but I will just say this. Before we get into start praising the Pacers, that first half might have been the worst defensive first half I've seen from an opponent the Pacers have faced this year.
Oh, my God.
The Brooklyn Nets played worse defense in that first half than I saw in the All-Star game at Cambridge Fieldhouse. It was bad. I don't know what they were doing. So, honestly, like, the Pacers were just getting out and really making it – life was easy for the Pacers in that first half. I mean, Miles Turner's out there making left-handed free throws. Nobody was really seeming like they were trying that hard, and I think that kind of set the tone a little bit for the second half where it didn't feel as like the Pacers – kind of got off to a rusty start in that third quarter. Like, they were missing some easy shots around the rim that they were hitting everything in the first half. So I felt like they kind of took their foot off the gas in the second half, knowing that this game felt like it was out of reach. But still, they win by double digits, 22 points. Like, it was not even that close at points in this game. So
it wasn't.
Honestly, like, you know, that was my only negative, was just like the Nets were so, so bad defensively. It was like, how much can I take away from this win for the Pacers?
And that's a good point. But Indiana shot 67% in the first quarter, about 58% at halftime. Yeah, they were up as many as, I want to say it was 29 in the first half. I think they were up like 28 at halftime. So it's like they were in cruise control for quite some time. And it got to the point where I was like, look, I know the starters are going to play in the third quarter, but it didn't feel like they needed to. That's how ahead the Pacers were. But one thing, you know, before we get into everything was like Tyrese Haliburton immediately off the bat looked different. He had 14 points early on in that first quarter. At one point, he was outscoring the Nets. Hands down, this was the best performance, in my opinion, that he has had since that hamstring injury. He just looked efficient from the field. He looked dominant. This was like the Tyrese of old. I mean, you know, let's take a look. I mean, it's 27 points on 9 of 15 shooting. But what about the three-point shooting? Oh, he was accurate there, 4 of 7. Then you look at from an assist to turnover ratio, Alex, 13 to 0. To me, that was vintage, like, December Tyrese Haliburton.
No, Tyrese looked great, and it wasn't like it was like he got great when everything was bad for the Nets. It was like early on, he was just feeling it. It was him and Turner really getting things started early on in the first quarter, and he just kind of carried it over. He was feeling confident, and I think this was, like you said, probably the best he's looked bounce-wise.
I think so.
Since returning from the injury or the All-Star break, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, there was some bounce to his game tonight, and you can kind of feel it. He was definitely more animated in the post-game interviews, talking about the dunks that he had, the dunk that he didn't have, and kind of OB and Jarris were giving him a hard time, and then he had to call Buddy Hield after his media session to, like, talk to him about the dunk that he saw, and then Buddy Hield called him back when he didn't answer at first, and he was like, oh, yeah, you got up. And then I heard somebody said that they heard him talk with Buddy, and Buddy goes, yeah, I saw it on the NBA app. So it's just like, you know, I love it. And, you know, it's great that him and Buddy still have this great relationship. You know, they're on different teams, and they're both competing for, like, not trying to be in the play-in. So it's kind of interesting that they're still so close and talking about it. I'm sure Buddy was, like, low-key rooting for the Pacers to lose just because he wants the Sixers to not be in the play-in because he wants to make the playoffs. But regardless, you know, I love that relationship they have. Him and Obi obviously have a good relationship. Him and Jarris have a good relationship. But, yeah, it was a fun night for Tyrese. I mean, I will say this. Watching Tyrese in warm-ups, like, he was shooting from the logo. I posted a video of where he made, like, two effortlessly from the logo, and I'm just like, when Tyrese is on and playing at his best, like, watch out. But, it, like I said, it's just – I got to take this with a grain of salt. I want to see him do it more consistently before I'm ready to be like, oh, Tyrese is officially back. But, like, this was a vintage game, and before tonight, 32 assists away from breaking the record for the most assists in a regular season. Mark Jackson holds that for 713. He got 13 tonight, so he's only 19 away now from breaking the record. So could he do it against the Nets again? Only time will tell. We've seen Tyrese Haliburton have 20 assists in a game before, so don't count it out.
We can't say that it can't happen, but it would also be cool for it to happen in Indiana. So, you know, later on, I believe they play the Thunder on Friday. So I think that there's an opportunity to do it in front of the home crowd. But I think for Haliburton, yeah. I mean, just an awesome, awesome performance. The Brooklyn Nets, definitely a team that you want to be able to play some of your best basketball, beat them down. I think that the Nets, you look on paper, you see 111, and it might sound like the Pacers didn't play a great defensive game. They did. The Nets were never a threat in this game, and I think that you know, deep into that that third quarter, the Nets had like 66 points. I remember at one point, and I was like, whoa, this is not going well for them. But there was a lot of good things that happened, but Alex, there was one bad thing that happened, and that was Miles Turner's finger. You were in the building. I mean, what was that like when that injury happened? Because it's everything you fear in the midst of a blowout. Like, how do you protect these players? Right when that happened, I was like, you got to get everybody out of there.
Yeah, it was kind of a freak thing, and I know he went out there and shot the free throws. I was a little bit surprised that he actually shot them still with his left hand, because usually when a guy shoots free throws after sustaining an injury, he's looking to return to the game. And so, like, I guess that there was just like, we'll keep that possibility open. Yeah. So I wasn't mad that they went ahead and, you know, let him shoot the free throws. I mean, he did hit one of two left-handed. So, but like you said, obviously not what you want to see. But, yeah, Rick Carlisle did say that the x-ray was negative for a fracture in regards to his injured finger. Status for Wednesday is undetermined, so we'll see if he gets to play on Wednesday, but doesn't seem like it's going to be something that's going to keep him out super long. It didn't look great. I know Miles was joking about it on social media, saying like, I trade in like a Lego set if someone can give me
a rare Lego set.
Yes,
that makes me worried. I mean, I know Miles loves his Legos, so I don't want to go too rare over here, but someone get this man a finger ASAP.
Yeah, it didn't look good, but I think it's one of those things where he'll be able to recover from it, and it's not going to be a lingering issue, hopefully. But yeah, I mean, like you said, just the worst possible situation for like a team being up like that, and kind of it to happen on a freak play, like where he'd like on a missed dunk.
Yeah,
did that to his finger. So, you know, Tyree said Miles will be fine. So we'll see. Obviously, Carlisle wasn't ready to commit as much, but Ty didn't seem like it was the end of the world. And I kind of wonder if the game were closer, would he have played still?
Maybe.
Or because they were up by so many, they were like, we're just going to be cautious here and not put him back in the game.
And it didn't make sense for him to come back. There was a moment deep into the third quarter where I was like, why is Halliburton still out there? Like, come on, what do you, you know, at this point of everything to, you know, after the Turner injury, it was like, we should yank all starters. Halliburton still plays 27 minutes in this game, which was the most of all starters. And, you know, look, I know we're nitpicking over here. Everything turned out all right outside of Turner's finger. But I think that this was an opportunity for other guys to step up in specific. Jalen Smith stepped up. It didn't last too long. But, you know, Jalen really got the Pacers going after halftime. Obviously gets in a tussle with Dennis Schroeder. I didn't think that Schroeder wanted any of that smoke, but there's this one moment where Schroeder's on the floor and he kind of looks up and he looked scared to death of Jalen Smith. And that was a scary Jalen because, you know, he ends up getting ejected from the game, but not before he was able to rack up 17 points, 10 boards, and do it in just 16 minutes.
He was really good tonight. I mean, he was having his way with the Nets, and it is a little bit of a bummer. I jokingly told some guys and girls on the media row tonight that, you know, Jalen Smith's probably the smartest player out here, but gets himself ejected from the game, doesn't have to be there for the rest of the third and fourth quarter. Gets to go take a shower and beat everybody into the locker room, get to watch Caitlin Clark on national TV and kind of just get out of this one. But I'm kidding, obviously. But it was a thing that we've seen Jalen do before this season. We've talked about Jalen's hot temper. I mean, it's one of those things that he just like – he seems like the nicest guy. Like if you were to talk to Jalen Smith off a basketball court, probably the nicest – like even probably nicer than Tyrese Halliburton at times – off the court. Like I've never seen a guy like be like more smiley, happy, just like whatever. Obi Toppin's really nice like that too. But yeah, Jalen just a fun loving guy. And then like there's just something that just makes him snap and you know, just the snap of a finger, he is flying off the handle and getting upset. So I don't know. I mean, what did you think? Because I saw a lot of Pacer fans saying, like, oh, that shouldn't have been a flagrant too. But I will say this from someone that's not being a fanboy here in response to this. I understand why they called it a flagrant too.
Jalen definitely overreacted. He definitely did. I don't think that that's a flagrant. I think that maybe that's like the old timer in me that's seen players get away with a lot worse.
It's 2024, Focci. Come on now.
I know. This isn't the, catch up with the late times, 90s buddy. Or early 2000s.
Come on.
I don't think he needed to be ejected, but I think that the refs were probably trying to send a message to not have things further escalate. I think that's kind of how the refs see it, of like, let's make an example so other players around the league know, hey, you're not going to get away with all this. But I thought that his reaction was a little bit much, but at the same point, it didn't hurt the Pacers. It's not like one of those where we lost Turner, Jalen gets ejected, now we're short on bigs, and now we're trailing. So I think that there's a game that he's going to get ejected. I think this is probably, I guess, the game to get ejected in.
For sure, yeah. I will just say this, and I think that part of the reason he was ejected, because it was excessive, it was unnecessary for him to react like that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Schroeder did him in the face, and I understand why he was a little bit upset about that, because I think I heard Eddie Gill talk about it throughout the arena, like the radio broadcast plays throughout the arena, and he was just saying, like, you know what, like guys when they have goggles and they get hit in the face, like they don't like that, so maybe that just kind of triggered him a little bit. But one thing, like you said, like the score was so out of hand at this point, and nothing good can come out of anything. Like when you get into a scuffle there, when the game's out of hand, and if the player stays in the game, could it escalate into something more because of a cheap shot? Because, like, let's be honest, like the Nets aren't playing for anything at this point. They have no draft picks. They're like trying to get into the play-in, but they're not going to make it. Like, I'd be highly surprised if they make it. I think Toronto's still there, right? Or no, it's Atlanta and Chicago, so they're not going to make it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, they're just kind of like treading water to the end of the season. You could tell by their first half performance, like they didn't really seem like they wanted to be there. Second night of a back-to-back, third night in four games. So I just feel like the officials were like, they spent 10 minutes on it. So clearly they were really checking to make sure that they wanted to do this. So maybe it was set a message. Maybe it was send a message. Maybe it was just kind of say, you know what? We don't want anything to get out of hand here in a blowout game, because that's when these stupid fights kind of happen. So let's just kind of hold this one, you know, a little bit close to the chest and just say, okay, Jalen, you got to go. But Fauci, before we continue on, we need to tell the people about Unified Healing. So whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like us, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. The Pacers, they need Miles Turner to get that top-notch performance, because obviously that finger cannot keep him out for very long. But we're excited today, Fauci, because we're going to tell more and more people about Unified Healing and how they're sponsoring this great episode of Setting the Pace.
Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of EE System yet, you're going to want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in Indiana or New York or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. It's something that, hey, you know, pick up your couch right now, see if there's any change in between your cushions. You might be able to afford Unified Healing. Trust me.
Easy and affordable. Remember those two words, ladies and gentlemen. Anytime I hear that, I get a little bit excited. So, but if you're interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/pace. That's PACE to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/pace. Like I said, PACE.
No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare providers with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Fauci. So I'm glad we're talking about Unified Healing, because this is a great time for us to talk about injuries. And we just talked about Miles Turner and his recovery. But, you know, one of those things, it feels like it's been so long since we talked about Benedict Mathurin. And I know we've had conversations about like what this team might look like without him. And then I talked with Caitlin Cooper about it a little bit, but you know, I haven't really seen him around the team as much. I don't know if he's been on the bench. I haven't really seen from my spot if he's there, but it feels like he's not with the team right now, probably in rehab, trying to figure things out. But the road to recovery for Benedict Mathurin is huge here. And I think the Pacers, they're finding ways to win without him. And I think that's great to see that this team can kind of step up in his absence. And I kind of wonder sometimes if it's a little more simplified without him on the team right now, just kind of understanding the rotations a little bit more. But clearly, they are going to miss him in certain aspects of the game, especially come playoff time. But, you know, Benedict Mathurin did have successful surgery when he was in California. So, you know, hoping that he can get himself ready, Fauci, for the upcoming season, because I think the Pacers are going to really need him.
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to be the biggest year of Mathurin yet, and a lot will be determined about kind of his spot on this team next year. But I think that it's going to be really important for him to be with this team in the playoffs, because you want him to be able to experience that even if he's not on the court. So I think that right now, hey, that's that time where, you know, have your surgery, do some recovery, but, you know, you really love to be able to have him with this group, you know, once you're going into the playoffs. But I think for now, they're trying to figure out some things. I think the bench unit tonight was really good. I believe it was 64 points off the bench for the Pacers. A lot of it was were players that were able to, you know, get some buckets up in garbage time. But, you know, we already mentioned your Jalen Smiths. TJ McConnell keeps it going in double figure scoring with 10 points, 8 assists. Obi Toppin gave you a good performance with 14 points. So I think on a night like tonight, hey, the bench took care of business. I don't think that you needed to ask them to do too much, but this was just one of those games where you had all your starters kind of just handling everything. I think Turner was the only starter that was below a plus 20. He was a plus 19. So it just shows that the starters were fantastic. The bench was great. And I just felt like this was a performance overall that really clicked for the Pacers. And there's just no avenue that you could really say, yeah, you know what? We just really didn't bring it on this side of the ball tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to add on something to that too, just because looking at things the Pacers have been able to attack with this Brooklyn Nets team, and that is the points in the paint, Focci. Mm-hmm. Previous game, they had 82 points, which was a record for the Pacers this season for most points in a game for points in the paint. Well, they weren't too far off from that tonight. 70 points in the paint against the Brooklyn Nets. So 152 points scored total in the paint against this Brooklyn Nets team in two games. I'm kind of curious to see how Brooklyn responds, because one thing that is interesting is we do have this home and away series with the Nets. You know, you're going to be in the arena on Wednesday night. So
I am.
It's not going to be an easy win. Number one, because you're going to be there.
Yes.
But number two, you saw tempers flare up with the Jalen Smith stuff. The Nets just got embarrassed twice now by the Pacers in Indianapolis. So are they going to come and bring their best foot forward in this game, and how does Indiana respond? Does Indiana kind of overlook this team walking into Wednesday night thinking, well, we just spanked them by 22 points. We beat them by 20 the previous game. Like, you know, this is a time where the Pacers cannot let up. We talked about this on our last episode. This is a game they have to win. They have to take care of business against the teams that they're supposed to beat and be favored against. So I'm not saying they are going to lose this game, but it does very much feel like a one of those big trap games that you can always see coming on the schedule. It's like, you cannot lose this game. I don't care if it's a bit of an overreaction. I'm calling this one a must win against the Nets.
I think that's, it's fair to call it that way. You could, you know, almost imagine like a chunk of cheese in a rat trap right now, because that's what it is. This is a trap game. And I think that the stage is set for two different things. One, for me to shatter the streak and the curse. I think that this is, you would think the stars would align to say the Pacers are going to beat the Nets, I'll be in attendance. Or then there's the flip side to say everybody should be looking at this game saying Indiana's definitely going to win. And that's what worries me. Mm-hmm. Because to what you said, to your point, this is the exact letdown scenario of overlooking a team. I'm happy that the starters got some rest, but I just feel that you know, the Pacers probably take this game a little bit easier than they did, you know, the Lakers when you handled business, or then you had a couple days of rest and you felt rejuvenated playing a Nets team that you talked about before, three games and four nights, they looked every bit exhausted. So I do think you're going to get a better Nets team, unfortunately, but I still feel that on paper, this Pacers team is just far more talented, playing better basketball at this time. We're really seeing something defensively, and I really hope that they can keep it up. But also, this was a night where, I mean, look, the Pacers were led by as many as 36 in this game. Mm-hmm. You talked about their points in the paint. They had it going from three-point land. The ball movement was fantastic. At one point, the Pacers had assists on, I want to say it was, I think it was 14 of their first 18 made shots. So the ball was just moving around. I loved what I saw. But yeah, this is the definition of, if you want to be a threat and you look at where the standings are right now, you have to handle business in Brooklyn on Wednesday night.
I don't care how ugly it is, they got to win this game. So if they win by 4 points, 5 points, whatever, they got to win. They can't afford to lose this game. But I will say this, they have been playing better on the road. I know they did lose two games on the road trip, but they are 6-2 in their last eight games on the road, Fauci. So, you know, they went through a little bit of a slump there. They lost really bad to New Orleans. They lost bad to San Antonio. But after that, they beat Dallas. They beat OKC. They beat Orlando. They beat the Clippers. You know, they beat Golden State and Golden State. So they've had some wins here that have been pretty impressive. So, and Detroit was the other one that they had. So they got to build off those road wins and the success they have found on the road, because we know this is a team that is going to be on the road more than likely to start a playoff series if they are to stay in six. So it's good to kind of get their feet wet with that. But the Pacers, I mean, this, they've got two games really tough after the Nets game on Wednesday, because they play the Thunder on Friday, who they beat already once. So, you know, they're going to want revenge. And then probably the biggest game of the season is that Sunday game against the Miami Heat in Indianapolis. So the Pacers are going to really have to take care of business there, because, you know, they have to win that game just because of tiebreaker implications and all that stuff, and trying to avoid being in a 7-8 matchup. So overall for me, though, I just feel like this game against the Nets, they cannot afford to lose it. And it's one of those things where it's like, we know the Nets are kind of packing it in, but they've got four games in a row at home. So they're probably going to be excited to be home, not have to travel as much, not so much back and forth with their schedule and the back-to-backs and things like that. So Indiana caught a break tonight by facing a little bit of a depleted, you know, Brooklyn team that was tired. And Rick Carlisle alluded to the fact that they took advantage of them in the first half. But like he said, you cannot overlook this team. And so we've seen the Pacers overlook their opponents far too often this year, or just not play up to their competition. You know, you need to see a focused Tyrese Haliburton like you saw tonight against Brooklyn again. And I think if the starters can kind of lock in, they'll set the tone for the rest of the game. I don't want to have to see TJ McConnell come in there and rally the troops back to getting back to a winning basketball in this game. I want to see the starters set the tone and McConnell just kind of carry the mantle after.
I would love that. I really would. One other thing that I want to say is just you know, Mikal Bridges, look, he can't do it alone, but you look at it on a night like tonight where, like, everything went well for the Pacers, and you know, Siakam didn't need to have a big game due to everything that was going on, but Bridges has struggled against the Pacers. Tonight, just 7 of 17. Last time, I think he was 1 of 8 in the game for just 7 points, and you start to just think and be like, man, that was a guy that the asking price was maybe 4 to 5 first-round picks for, and the Pacers elected to not, you know, pony up. I don't know how much better this Pacers team would be if they had Mikal Bridges instead of Siakam. I really don't. You can make an argument to say they wouldn't be better. I think the Pacers made the right move. I think that Bridges he's obviously younger. He'll have a whole career ahead of him, and he'll be a really good player. But Siakam just really feel like he fits what the Pacers needed. And I think that trade, I do it over and over again, especially if it costs 1 to 2 less first-round picks and one less young player. So, and on a night like tonight, we made the right move.
I mean, yeah, let's be honest. One was more available than the other. And very so you take what you can get at that point. But, yeah, really a good win for the Pacers. Obviously, you can't be too upset about this win at all, even though there's probably some moments there where you like to be better defensively, like giving up 30 points in the third quarter, 34 in the fourth. Like, they had really good moments in the first half, the second half. Like I said, I think they took their foot off the gas, kind of felt like they already had this game in the bag, and that's common. That's going to happen. I'm not expecting anybody to, like, be like, you got to be perfect for the 48 minutes. Like, no team really is, but you have to not allow the Nets to breathe any life and get any confidence, because Lonnie Walker had a good game. Watford had a good game off the bench. So, you know, you can't allow those kind of guys to start feeling confident in who they are. And this team has to be better. Like, Miles Turner had 5 blocks in the first half.
And 14 minutes.
While the blocks look great on stats, you know, Carlisle said, well, that's because guys were getting to the remedies. So did a good job cleaning them up. And I will say the best block that he had was when he blocked Cam Thomas's shot. And then Cam Thomas was, like, out of bounds after he'd, like, missed a layup and the ball deflected off of Cam Thomas out of bounds. So the Pacers got the ball back. He gets a technical foul. I think the Pacers made the technical free throw too. So it was just kind of like, wow, things cannot get any worse for the Nets at this moment. But you know, they kind of clawed their way back, and I wouldn't say they clawed their way. That's a bad term, right there. But they did play better in the second half. They fought harder that half. So hopefully, you know, for the Nets fans, they can build off that. But hopefully for the Pacers, Indiana doesn't allow that to kind of creep back and kind of hurt them the next time they play Brooklyn, because, you know, Brooklyn's going to want to play a little bit better than they did this game.
No, they will. And selfishly, I really did want to hold the Nets below 100 points just to be like, wow, the Pacers now held back-to-back opponents below 100. I take that fourth quarter with an absolute grain of salt where, you know, Brooklyn outscored the Pacers by nine, and I just felt like, hey, I know it was against the bench unit. And while we're talking about the bench unit, special shout out to Isaiah Wong, who scored his first NBA basket, his first NBA points. Great to see. I mean, just, you know, it was something where, like, right when I saw him come in, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't think I've ever seen him play for the Pacers. And then I was like, this is his debut. So I think that was great to see. And just, it was good to empty the bench in this game. I know James Johnson didn't get in, but everybody else got in.
Yeah, everybody that played scored except Kendall Brown tonight, and he got 3 fouls in like 7 minutes. I felt bad for the guy because I really wanted to see him score. But Isaiah Wong, like you said, I mean, Isaiah Wong in the month of April, like playing his best basketball is what he does. But like Tyrese Haliburton said, like, you know what? He's got to get ready for a playoff game tomorrow because the Mad Ants are in the playoffs, Fauci. So I know we don't talk about the Mad Ants very much on this podcast because there's not a lot of growing interest for it, but, you know, Oscar Tshiebwe, Isaiah Wong, maybe Kendall Brown will go down there and play with them. Like, big opportunity for them in the playoffs to kind of just get some more experience and play some competitive basketball. So I hope Isaiah Wong does well there. But, yeah, you know what? Miami, both the girls and the boys last year made it to the Sweet 16. Now this year, North Carolina State doing the same thing. So, hey, you never know, right? But still, it's a really cool moment for Isaiah Wong and someone that, you know, doesn't get a lot of playing time, but was able to get some tonight in a moment where, you know, there was an opportunity for him to play. So shout out to him. But other than that, Fauci, I don't really think I have anything else to say about this game. It was a pretty boring game.
And you know what? On a night like tonight, boring's okay.
Yes.
And you're right, though. I didn't want to say it myself in the third quarter. I was like, man, this game's dragging. Like, let's just
get the 10-minute review didn't help it either.
I found myself rooting for very, very small things. Like, McConnell's got to get to 10. You know, like, just like little things like that that absolutely did not matter. But I just wanted guys to start getting stats. Feed it to Jairus Walker, you know, get Ben Shepherd the ball, things like that. And it's a good problem to have. So I'm happy that this was a very convincing win. This was not one that I had to be standing up, standing right next to the TV, or, you know, risking waking my daughter up or anything like that. This was a cool, calm, collected game. We were able to sit back and just kind of honestly wait for it to be over. Yes. So good win. Let's do it again against Brooklyn.
Stress-free game, and let's get another victory. And please, let's break the curse.
We got to break the curse. I mean, we can't if we lose to the Wizards and the Nets with me in the building this year, it's me. At that point, I will definitely own that. But I felt real good last time we were playing the Wizards. I feel even better this time around because we're playing better basketball, and the Nets, they're asking for that regular season end. They want us to just kind of, you know, send them. I want the Nets players saying, what are you doing after the game? I want them talking about that before the game happens, because winning, it's not really on their mind. Us, we need this one.
No, we really do. I mean, it's gonna be really disappointing, Fauci, if you are somehow the reason we lose. Now, I will say this. There is a Twitter fan, or there's a Pacer fan by the name of Owen on Twitter. I'm sure you've seen about this. Apparently, the curse is real with him, too.
Yeah,
and he's going to be in the building Friday night against the Thunder. We can't afford to lose two games right now. So,
if we lose one of those two, it
wouldn't shock me if we lost to OKC, but we can't afford to lose both. So, if we end up losing both, I think you both have to figure something out. Maybe you guys got to go to a game together.
You know, look, I don't know if this town's big enough for both curses to end, but, you know, I really do think that I'm in need of this one. I mean, truly. You know, it's gotta end. I truthfully believe I have not seen a Pacers win since pre-COVID, because I know I couldn't make it to a game in 2020, and I don't remember a win after that. So that I remember keeping track of. So if we're talking about like 2019, it's 2024 right now, and it's just it's not easy when you only get maybe two, maybe three games a year to attend. And at this point, I'm running out of games to attend. I need this one. This is the third appearance of the year. It's got to be the one that breaks the curse.
No injuries and no losses is what we're hoping for on Wednesday night. Watching the building, but go ahead. We've talked enough about this game and what's going on. Let everybody know where they can find us out on social media.
Absolutely. So you can find us on Twitter at Pacers Pod, STP. You can find Alex on Twitter at AlexGoldenNBA. I can be found on Twitter at _FACCI. You can find us on Instagram at PacersPodSTP. You can find us on Facebook, Setting the Pace. You can find us on TikTok at Setting the Pace. And Alex, tell them where they can check us out on YouTube.
Ladies and gentlemen, go to youtube.com/settingthepace, a Pacers podcast, where you can find all of that video content. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to do it. I'm doing this crazy voice to try to get your attention because I want you to subscribe. I want you to comment. I want you to send this to all your friends and your family. Let them know we are on the YouTube, right? But we're also on the audio platform, and we need you guys to leave us a 5-star rating and review. I say it every episode, and I think it's falling on deaf ears at this point, but I need you to do it. I need you guys. Help me, please. Somebody, we need to see some more numbers on the ratings and reviews. Whatever you got to do, take someone's phone at the Starbucks, right? You say, can I see your phone real quick? You heard of this podcast set in the page? You got to give a 5-star rating and review up or on Apple. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you've heard of this? Like, you got to help us out. But regardless, you know, that's what we're all about, is just growing the brand and making everybody know more about this podcast because we want to get the word out. So some really cool opportunities for you guys to help us out. And maybe we can give you guys something back in return. But with that being said, Vach, if you're glad the Pacers got another victory over the Brooklyn Nets and they're undefeated in the month of April, then hit me with those three words.
Let's go, Pacers!